It's hard to believe another year is almost over, isn't it? My kids think time goes fast, but I keep telling them the older they get, it just keeps going faster and faster. I don't know if it's the wagon rolls faster going downhill or what, but anyway, I feel it. Seems like we just started this year and now we're at the end of it. Well, at the end of the year, you know, there's a lot of people who do different things. They project or make resolutions or whatever. I find this hinge between 2 years is a time that's very natural to look back and look forward. I find when we review the year, in addition to seeing the faithfulness of the Lord, we also, if we're willing to explore, also are very much aware of our failures in the past year. And so reviewing the year, you need to be kind of brave to do that because we come up with those things where we've blown it. But also, when we look to the future, that doesn't reveal our failures. It often turns up our fears. We have concerns, we have anxieties, we have fears about what may be going on or may not happen. Well, I'm just so glad that at this hinge time between the 2 years, we can celebrate the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for our failures. And we can celebrate the absolute assurance we have in Christ to relieve us from our fears. Amen? That's what we can do. Well, today, I want to explore with you from the Scriptures the idea of finishing well. Not just because we only have a couple days left in this year, but that prompted this this study in this verse, the idea of finishing well. Now, most of us in life have heard that if we're going to succeed, if we're going to be successful in any arena of life, that we obviously have to start right and we also have to stay right. But rarely, if ever, do we ever hear anything nowadays about finishing right, about finishing well. And so, like I say, I'd like to explore that with you this morning. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, wrote these words to a young pastor, Timothy. He said, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Will you join me in asking the Lord to apply these words to our hearts this morning? Father, we pray that as we review these words of testimony from the life of the Apostle Paul, that somehow you will use them to spark in us the same passion to finish well that took Paul all the way to the end of his life in ultimate success. Do that among us, we pray this morning, for Christ's sake. Amen. Probably most of us can look over our lives and see people who have impacted us in one way or another. My life has obviously been impacted by many, but there's only relatively few people who have impacted my life in major ways. One such man was Fred Sonnenberg. He was my preaching professor at Bible College. This guy loved the Lord with a passion, and he loved the Word of God. And he loved to train preachers. That was his life's calling, his life goal. And so he worked with every class of people who came through the college, and he taught us how to exegete Scripture. He taught us how to hear what God was saying. He taught us how to construct it in such a way that people would be wanting to hear the Word of God. And so today, all over the world, literally, there are people, missionaries, pastors, Christian educators, people who are teaching and preaching the Word of God, who were shaped and trained by Fred Sonnenberg. Well, a few years ago, I received a telephone call that deeply shook me. Fred was dead. Fred had committed suicide. He left a note apologizing to his wife and daughters, hoping that the note would ease their pain, but it didn't work. The hole that Fred left was a very, very big one. John Mank was another very, very gifted man. He left a very successful business to become the executive pastor of our growing church in Toronto. And while he was there, he used his tremendous administrative gifts to accomplish unbelievable things. That guy did more in 6 months than most people could do in 4 years. Unfortunately, near the end of his time with us, he made some very foolish moves and consequently was asked by our elders' board to resign. The next morning, while he was hastily and angrily packing up, I went into his office and I said to him, "John, it doesn't have to end this way." He swore at me and walked out of his office, out of the church, and out of my life. And to this day, he has not responded to my attempts at reaching him. Finishing well. Finishing well is the easiest thing in life not to do. If the problems are too frustrating, we walk away from them. If the course is too hard, we drop out. If the marriage is too difficult, we divorce. If the baby is unplanned, we abort it. If the job is too demanding, we quit. If the culture is too abrasive, we move. If the habit is too enjoyable, we refuse to deny ourselves. If the challenge is too intense, we modify it. If the training is too tough, we back off. If the diet is too difficult, finish that one yourself. Finishing well may not be easy, but I want you to know this morning, I want to finish well. It's something that I want to do in my life. I don't want my life or my job or anything I do to end with a comma, a hyphen, or a question mark. I want to have a clear and definite period at the end of all sentences describing my life. I want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul someday, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith." Period. Now I have a strong hunch this morning that you're with me in this. Is there anybody here who truly wants to be a quitter? Who wants to be a dropout? Who wants to be a failure? Who wants to be a loser? I don't think so. Deep down in our spirit as believers, more than anything, we want to live right and we want to finish well. But the big question is, how can we secure that that will happen? How can we avoid the mistakes of Fred and John and some other people who have lived well and finished bad? Are there any guarantees? Well, I believe that in these few short words that Paul words here as a testimony, I think we can find three characteristics of his life, which if they are in our lives, will enable us to keep going and finish well. And those three characteristics are focus, perseverance, and conviction. Let's examine them briefly this morning. The first one is focus. Paul said, "I have fought the good fight." Now, once in a while in life, you run across people who just never fight. They never fight about anything. They always let everyone else have their way, and they go silent whenever they're asked their opinion, their desire, their belief. Nothing seems to be important to them. Nothing seems to be worth fighting for. But most people will fight for something. Some people will fight for anything. Some people are a fight just waiting for an occasion to happen. Now, unfortunately, the majority of us who will fight over something, unfortunately, most people who do fight, fight over issues that have little or no long-term significance. I remember in the heat of an argument one time, somebody saying to me, "Dave, in light of eternity, how much does this really matter?" That's a great way to stop a petty argument. In the light of eternity, how much does this really matter? Some of the best advice that Brenda and I were given, actually, since coming here to Egypt. I think some family here gave it to us. One of the best advice, they said, when it comes to parenting, choose your fights. Or pick your fights. In other words, don't fight over everything as parents with your kids, because if you waste all your fight points on the little stuff, then when the big stuff comes and you really need to make your mark, you have no more fight, no more say, no more platform for significant input. So select your fights. Please note here that Paul did not say, I have fought the fight. Hey, I fought the good fight. Well, what's the difference between any old fight and a good fight? Yeah, the good fight is the one you win. I'm serious. And in that sense, Paul is saying the good fight is the fight that ultimately wins. The one that will ultimately be victorious. The one that is the ultimate triumph. And what is that ultimate triumph, victory, and win? What is it? It's the fight for truth, for righteousness, and for holiness. Have you ever noticed that truth and righteousness and holiness don't just happen in your life or in mine or in culture? They're a fight. It's a fight to get those things in place. First of all, it's a fight in our own soul. Every single day we endure that internal conflict between good and evil, between serving ourselves and serving God, between our flesh and our spirit. And if you're like me, temptation never lets up. It seems to get more intense the older I get. How can we guarantee which side will win? If we're committed to fighting the good fight, how can we determine ahead of time, if possible, which side's going to win? I remember years ago hearing an old cowboy believer was asked this, and he said, oh, that's easy. He said, inside me there's a good dog and a bad dog, and the one that wins is whichever one I say sick 'em to. Sick 'em? I'm sorry, it's a way of calling a dog, the way of saying go get 'em, you know. And basically, it's that way in our lives too. When you're faced with the temptation, when you're faced with that struggle, today when you face it, this morning when you face it, whenever you're faced with that situation between living for God or living for yourself, pleasing the Lord or pleasing your own appetites, who do you say sick 'em to? Which side do you come down on? Which side do you say, I am going to serve the Lord or I am going to serve my flesh? It's a fight. It's a daily one. But if you want to finish well, then you've got to keep your focus on God and fight that fight of faith. And a lot of it has to do with our focus. Who are we looking at and what are we looking to? We also fight this fight of faith in the public arena. When we have opportunity to speak for truth, do we take it? When you're with your peers, when you're with the ladies, when you're with the businessmen, in your business setting or a school setting or a community setting, when issues come up and you can speak for truth, do you do it? When you can stand for righteousness, do you do it? Or do you wimp out and back off? When lies and false philosophies abound, do we speak up? When someone speaks false information about God, about Christ, about the Scriptures, or about another person, do we pleasantly and clearly provide correction, or do we allow the silence to reinforce those lies? Have you ever noticed that lies have a way of looking so juicy at the time, but in order for them to stand, they always have to be propped up with more lies? You tell one lie, you got to tell another one to keep it in place, and then another one to keep that one in place, and you just got to keep telling more and more lies. But have you ever noticed that lies always and eventually crumble? They are always eventually found out. Have you ever noticed that? Well, truth is exactly the opposite. Truth will stand regardless of how often and how long and how hard it is poked, shot, tested, ridiculed, or whatever. Truth will always stand. And so if you line up your life with Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the truth, if you line up with Him, you are already on the winning team, because truth is unbeatable in the long-term sense. And that's why when you stand for truth, indeed fight for truth, you're fighting the good fight. Finishing well requires a clear focus, as I said, because if we don't have that clear focus, we will be easily sidetracked. If I went and bought a train ticket to go to Alexandria this afternoon, and somebody came along, one of you came along and said, hey Dave, on your way to Alexandria, would you like to pop off at a suit? I'd say, I don't think so. I don't think we're going in the same direction. Did I say that right? Asiut? Asiut? Something like that? Anyway, once you have a clear sense of direction and a clear focus of where you're going, it becomes relatively easy to say no to anything that would take you off track. But if you don't have a focus, if you don't know where you're going in life, if you don't know where you're headed and what's important to you, then any invitation will take you off track because there's no track. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I know what this fight is. I know where it's going. I'm aiming for truth, for righteousness, for holiness, the fight that will ultimately win, and that's where I'm going. His focus was in place. That single focus, dear friends, is a key to ending our lives in victory, ultimate and complete victory. There's a second characteristic that Paul alludes to here when he says the second thing, and that is perseverance. He says, I have finished the race. I didn't just start it. I wasn't the quickest out of the blocks necessarily, and I didn't just necessarily run the fastest, and I may not even have beat people to the line, but I finished. I finished the race. I finished the course. You know as well as I do that the world is full of starters, but most people drop out along the way in almost every arena of life. Now, you can listen to even secular people tell you that a key to success is to keep going. It's reserved for those who finish and for those who finish well. Years ago, I heard this little poem it's cute, but it makes the point. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The side of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, cried number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. So giving up, he waved farewell, and weeping hard, he drowned. But number two of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise, the while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. He kicked and kicked and swam and kicked. Not once he stopped to mutter. He kept on going, kicking hard, then hopped out via butter. Perseverance pays. Now, I don't know if you've ever fallen a can of cream, but it pays regardless of what circumstance you're in life. Someone once said that quitters never win and winners never quit. Say it again. Quitters never win and winners never quit. That's not just true for Christians. That's true across the board in any arena of life. But when it comes to our lives and our faith, it's even more true. Perseverance means to keep going even when we don't feel like it. I find that I need to practice perseverance, not just in my spiritual life. I need to practice it in other arenas. For me, it may not be the case for you, for me, physical discipline has always been kind of the starter for me to learn perseverance. And so to this day, I try and get out and either work the weights or jog a little or do something to push my body to do things that it doesn't naturally want to do. And I find that, for example, when I'm doing weights, so repetitions, I'll set a mental goal to do, say, 15 reps of so many weights. And I'll get to that, and the 15th one, I'll do it. And rather than quitting at 15, I'll say, go for two more. So I'll push, and I'll get those two more out. And when I get that second one done, I'll say, try one more. And I'll go one more. And I'll say, try one more. And I'll just keep pushing myself until I just can't do anymore. And I put the weight down. You say, why do you do that to yourself? Because I find that as I discipline myself and train myself physically, it builds a pattern in my life that helps me do the same thing in other arenas of my life. That push me when I don't feel like it, that make me want to keep going, because then I get the benefit of that kind of exercise, whether it's in my body or in my relationship with my wife or in my spirit. I get the benefits of perseverance. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, I know full well that in your life and mine, life has a way of making us at times want to just give up, want to quit, want to pull the trigger, to back out, to leave, to pull the plug. Sometimes life gets so frustrating that we just want to stop the world and get off. You ever been there? Yeah, it gets that way. But if we want to finish well, we've got to persevere. We don't just start the race, we keep on keeping on all the way to the end. Paul said, I have finished the race. I ran it right to the finish line. Third characteristic is conviction. Paul said, I have kept the faith. Now, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul's life and his story, you know that there's a lot packed into these few words. In essence, when he says, I have kept the faith, he's saying something like, nothing, absolutely nothing has been able to get me off track from my absolute trust in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. I've been beaten, I've been ridiculed, I've been ignored, I've been overlooked, I've been tortured, I've been imprisoned, and right now I'm on my way to death. But hear me, Paul said, I've kept the faith. Kept it. Do you have any convictions? Do you have any beliefs that you hold so dearly and tightly that nothing, absolutely nothing in life will ever be able to pry your fingers off of them? See, we live in a world that pressures us to conform to a wishy-washy, lukewarm, political correctness where everything is cosmetically pretty but has no guts or backbone. That's the culture we live in. Are you going to let that happen to you? A few weeks ago, I read about a wealthy businessman who was seated beside a very pretty lady at a banquet. He was away from his wife, and I didn't say whether she was married or not. But near the end of the meal, he said to her, would you spend the night with me for $100,000? She bowed her head and looked a little coy, and then she said, yes, I would. And so then he asked her, would you spend the night with me for $10? Her face immediately tightened into fury. She hissed back at him, what do you think I am? And he said to her calmly, we've already established what you are. Now we're just negotiating the price. There's a saying out in the world that every person has their price. What's your price, friends? What price will buy you off from that which you hold dear? How much money? Will a sum of money? Will a promotion? Will a relationship or an experience or a privilege or avoiding ridicule? Will any of these things be able to get you to alter what you hold dear? If it will, then you do not have a conviction. You may have a nice thought, a nice dream, a nice hope, but you don't have a conviction. A conviction is something that will never, ever change, no matter what is thrown at it. What are your convictions? What are those bedrock foundations upon which your life is built? Paul said, I've kept the faith. Only people who hold firmly to the gospel of Jesus Christ ever finish well. Let me say that again. Only people who hold firmly to the gospel of Jesus Christ ever finish well. Now, I'm not talking about finishing rich or finishing famous or even finishing happy. We're talking about finishing well in the ultimate sense. Finishing well when we hear our Master's voice, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That kind of finishing well, dear friends, is reserved for those who have their focus on Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. That kind of finishing well takes place in the lives of those who persevere through all obstacles. That kind of finishing well is at the end line of those for those who have held on to their convictions. In verse 8, Paul said, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, who will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul said, "I've kept my focus on Christ, I've persevered through all obstacles, and I've kept the faith. Therefore, God has in store for me a crown of righteousness, and I can hardly wait." And oh, by the way, he says, it's not just for me. It's for all who have longed for his appearing. It's for all who finish well. Paul finished well, and Paul got his reward. The question that remains for us this morning is, will we get ours? As we complete another year and start a new one, what is your heart wanting, friends? More than anything, what is your heart wanting? Do you want to finish well? If you do, then you know as well as I do that we can't do it in our own strength. These are principles and characteristics, but God has to be at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if that's your desire this morning, why don't you join me in prayer as we express that desire to the Lord and ask him to enable us to do just that. Lord, we hear Paul's testimony of his life, and we rejoice in what we see in him. Lord, we see these characteristics so clearly modeled. We see that single-minded focus. We see that dogged determination that caused him to persevere amidst unbelievable setbacks and obstacles and persecution. And we see that resolve to hold on to his convictions in the gospel and in Christ, regardless of how much attack there was against his thinking and against his preaching and against his way of life. Lord, as we examine our lives against him, all of us have points where we feel, Lord, we just don't measure up there. But you know our hearts this morning, and Lord, more than anything, we want to finish well. We want to have these characteristics in our lives. And so we pray this morning at the end of this year, the beginning of a new one, that you would again fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh with your supernatural enabling so that we can live the way you've called us to live. Lord, Paul didn't live that way in his own strength, and neither can we. We appeal to you to live in us, to walk with us, to equip us supernaturally, and to build these characteristics in our life as we cooperate with you. So, Lord, we ask that you would do that in each of us. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our desires. Now help us walk with you now in cooperation so that we can see these things take place. To the glory of God we pray. Amen. As you and I head into the future, into the new year, it's good to know that this year, even though we don't know what's coming, is not an accident. Christine Gangwer, our former intern, is going to sing a song reminding us of about that. And then after she sings, we're going to take a minute or two to hear your aspirations for the new year.